Hello, 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 babies. Welcome to Tea Time with Effie. I hope y'all have had a beautiful weekend, that everybody's well rested. We are in the second day of a new week. And y'all, this is episode 9. Episode 9. Next week, we're going to be 10 episodes in since the birth of Tea Time with Effie. I don't know how to feel about it. I am very blessed and I'm humbled and I'm thankful for everybody who has been tuning in every week, or even if you don't tune in every week, whenever you tune in, I just want to say thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in to Tea Time with Effie. Y'all have no idea how grateful I am to have supporters like you guys out there. Whether you're from South Africa, America, the United Emirates, or wherever you are in the world, thank you for tuning in to Tea Time with Effie. Now, babies, when I tell y'all, last week was Halloween, and I've been so busy last week because I'm busy with exams and all that shit, but I have been struggling with coming up with an episode for today. I really have been struggling to come up with an episode for today, but babies, trust and believe, when you ask the Lord, He will answer your prayers. And we got our topic, babies. We got our topic for today. So before we get into that, let's start off like we start off every episode. Whether you're laying on your bed, listening to me on your earphones, you might be even be in your car, driving around, have me on the surround sound. Or maybe you're in the grocery or liquor store doing your monthly or weekly shopping. Thank you so much for tuning, for choosing to tune in to Tea Time with Effie. Let's dive right into this episode. So today's episode is entitled, Rethinking Your Tea. And then the subtitle, we're speaking on relationships, love, and body stereotypes. Yes, baby, sometimes. Y'all know sometimes we grow up and, you know, obviously our parents and our families and the people who we are surrounded with play a very big role in how we start thinking and perceiving things. Is that not true, babies? If your mama says, say for example, your mama says, don't play with a spider, it's going to bite you, you ain't you going to think twice about playing with that spider because mama said, don't play with them spider. Also like society, even like intense topics like cheating, society says, don't cheat, because if you in a relationship with somebody, stick with that person. Stick with that person. So we've been taught that all our lives. And as we grow up, we come to realize that actually, this is true. We shouldn't cheat. We shouldn't play with no spiders. We shouldn't jump off a mountain without a harness or something. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, today's episode, like I said, rethinking your tea. Babies, when I tell you, let's dive right in. So chapter 1, relationships. Now, y'all know I have been touching on relationships since probably episode 1. I have been talking about many of my exes. And it's something that is common. Everybody has, okay, not everybody, but most people have been in a relationship already, whether it's heterosexual, homosexual, asexual, pansexual, or whatever type of relationship dynamic it is. It might even be a relationship between you and your mother, you and your father, your grandfather, the relationship you have with your friends and all these things. That is what we're going to dive into on chapter one. So relationships. Now let's think of feminism. Let's think of feminism just for a little bit. You know, society raises us to say a man should do all the hard labors, or he is the breadwinner, or he gots to clean the yard on the outside. If the dog, if you got some pets, the man's job or his duty is to pick up the duty of the pets in the yard. That is what society has, you know, instilled in us. And then also the fact that society also says, you know, that old saying where they used to say, a woman's place is in the kitchen. A woman is a motherly figure. A woman is going to cater to her man. She is going to make sure that the food is ready by the time he gets home. She is going to read a bedtime story to the babies before they go to sleep. She is the mother. So in relationships between men and women, we have been socialized to believe that a man's responsibility is to do A and a woman's responsibility is to do B, when in actual fact, in today's life and times, babies, the world is changing, feminism is growing in the world, women are saying no, no. Why do I got to make food for you when you getting home? Sort yourself out. Or let's have a equal relationship. Today, you as the man, you cook us a supper. And I'll go into the yard and I'll pick up the duty. You know what I'm saying? Or she might say, okay, you read the bedtime story to the baby and I will go and clean the yard at the back, because I see there's some long grass or something. You know, people are starting to evolve the way they are thinking. And it is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing because, from my point of view, I remember before I had came out of the closet, obviously, you know, when you're younger in primary school and high school and all those things, so you start having girlfriends or you got boyfriends and all this shit. Anywho, I used to date this one girl. Now, this was before I knew that I was gay. At the time, I thought, okay, Effie, you're probably bisexual because you like the girls and you like the boys, okay? So I was dating this girl. And babies, when I tell you, obviously, like I'm saying, society says a boy, he's got to be a man. And a woman, she's more caring. She's more nurturing. She knows her place of what type of things she got to do. But when I tell y'all, honeys, I was dating this lady. I was dating this girl for quite some time. And it was a good relationship. I can speak nothing bad about her or her family. I mean, I even introduced her to my mama and my sister, and it was a good relationship, right? And but when I think of the fact that because we've been socialized that men do A, women do B, so automatically I had to be not the breadwinner, because that was before we were working, but I had to be the protector. Yeah, I had to protect her. If other guys try to interfere, I have to, you know, step forward and let them know, hold up, wait a minute, this is my girl. And you know, that was when I started thinking about Effie. Not about the fact that am I gay or whatever, but thinking about the fact of why have I been socialized to believe that I've got to be the protector. I've got to be the man. You know what I'm saying? She was a strong woman in her own skin. You know what I'm saying? She could stand up for her own self. And obviously, if the both of us is strong, we would be able to, you know, tackle the world. And it's not like the woman says, okay, you as the man, go forward and you protect me. You be my Prince Charming. And she is locked up in a tower or waiting for her Prince Charming to come and save her or protect her from a dragon or whatever. Why can she not also protect me? Or why can we not protect each other? Is that not what love is? You know, looking at what is going to be beneficial for the relationship if both of us encourage each other, if both of us stand up for each other, in whatever sense it might be, babies, would that not be so much better? And that was when I went to my university in my second year. My cousin was still working at the university at that time in the Women and Gender Studies department. And she said to me, Effie, how do you feel about studying women and gender studies? I said, women and gender studies, what the hell is that? She said to me, it's around feminism. It is restructuring, rebuilding, rejuvenating, let's just say restructuring the way that you think. So it's not that a man does this, a woman does that. No. We go against the grain and we let it be known that from a feministic point of view, me as a woman, I can do exactly what you can do as a man. You as a man can do exactly what I can do as a woman. You know, for many years, women have been, you know, shunned back into the background. And men have been pushed forward. You know, in some countries, there's still where people are, you know, say, for example, a female principal at a school and a male principal at a different school. In some countries, the male principal would earn more than the female principal, but in actual fact, they're doing the exact same thing. They're doing the exact same thing, so there's no reason for him to earn more than what she is earning, unless probably there's some type of, you know, work experience or something like that. But why should it be that? Why should it be that because he's the man, he earns more than what I earn because I'm a woman? That's some crazy. So when I enrolled for the gender studies and started going to the lectures, doing the tutorial exercises and all those things. And I just started thinking to myself, and this was the time when I had already been in my relationship with a female I told you all about, had already been over. But I would sit with, you know, with my mouth wide open, like, oh my God, really? I didn't know that. You know, it is also acceptable for a woman to do these things because obviously, like I say, society has socialized us to understand that a man does A and a woman does B. But I'm not going to go too much into this topic. We're going to get back to it in a future episode where we're really, really going to dive into feminism. But I just wanted to speak on the fact that we need to rethink EOT around relationships. A man does not necessarily need to only do A and a woman only needs to do B. Hell no, we ain't living in the 1930s. This is 2020, babies. And also, if we think about it, if we think about relationships, in the LGBT community, the gay community especially, I'm speaking for myself. When I started, you know, dating guys and things, I would always go for a guy who would be much more masculine than me. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking for a man. You know what I'm saying? That is the type of thinking that I had. So if the man's personality and structure is masculine in what society tells us to be masculine, or butch, as we say in the gay community. That is something that I would be, you know, attracted to. And also, I would automatically think, okay, so you're the masculine guy, so you must probably be a top. And some of y'all probably thinking, what the hell is a top? To break it down into understandable, let's say, you know, when you go to the bedroom, a heterosexual relationship, the man would be the top and the woman would be the bottom. So in rethinking your tea, you think, like I was saying, being attracted to a man who is masculine or butch, I would automatically think, okay, so you must be top. You must be the man in the relationship. Or people look at feminine or femboys and think, okay, so you must be the girl. Hell to the no, babies. This is 2020. We're rethinking our tea. Things are getting flipped upside down, turn around, upside down, and turn around. You're joining me, and sensually. Things are happening these days, babies. Just because you femme don't mean you got to be bottom. Just because you butch don't mean you got to be top. You could be, you could even be femme, and you could be serving that Hannah Montana. You could be serving that Hannah Montana, giving the best of both worlds, and you could say, baby, but I'm versatile. I can be a top and I can be a bottom. Why can I only be the one? I don't only want to be the one, I want to be both. Hell to the yes. Bring it in here, the best of both worlds. So let us rethink on the way that we let us restructure our thinking on how we perceive things with regards to relationships. And going over to chapter 2, where I'll be focusing on love, we also have to, in a sense, rethink, restructure, reimagine the way we deserve to be loved. You know what I'm saying, babies? Because, say for example, you have been in a relationship for 5 years, right? Let's go back to me and Kevin. Being in a relationship for 5 years. He was butch, he was the man, but he made the food. Y'all see where the difference comes in? He might have been the man, in inverted commas, in the relationship, the top, the butch, the, you know, masculine one in the relationship, but he cooked the food. He cooked the food. He would clean the house. We had a perfect balance. Obviously, I would make food and I would cook every now and then, but he preferred to do that. Y'all see, so we were already going against the grain. We were already challenging the stereotypes of society that society has placed on us. Because, first of all, we are not a man and a woman. We are two men in a relationship. And obviously, like I said earlier on, the man does A, the woman does B. No, we as two men, we do both. We split it in half. The one weekend, he cleans the yard. I make the food, and vice versa, and all these types of things. So, in that relationship, very toxic relationships, baby, when I tell y'all. That relationship was so toxic to the point where I would be fearful of saying something incorrectly, of doing something incorrectly, because he would go into, you know, a type of mood and, you know, either start screaming at me or ignoring me or, you know, just distancing himself from me. And then I wouldn't even know that I have done or said something to affect him in some type of way, right? So after that relationship, I go over to a new relationship, and now I have been socialized to believe that, okay, this is what love is. You got to know your place. Don't speak over your partner. Don't embarrass him in front of people. Lower or decrease your personality, baby, because you don't want to step on nobody's toes. So now you go into the next relationship and you think to yourself, okay, I'm going to give you the mic. Let's say I'm going to give you the mic. You're going to be the lead singer in this relationship because that is where I came from. Y'all know what I'm saying? So I'm going to be the backup singer in the relationship. Does it make sense? I'm trying to break it down in all types of, scenarios. You're going to be the one that's in control as the man, in inverted commas, and I am going to be the submissive. Yeah, let's say you're the dominant one and I'm the submissive, because that's the relationship that I came out of. But now I'm in a new relationship and I see that this guy, he might be butch, he might be masculine or more masculine than what I am, but he likes to be the submissive and he prefers that I be the dominant one. So now I'm sitting and thinking, but this is not the love that I know. This is not the love that I know. What is this? This is a different type of love. So there again, rethinking, restructuring, reimagining the way that love is shown between two people. Y'all see how everything is coming together? Y'all see it? Can y'all feel it in your spirit as I'm saying it today, babies? So yeah, going into this different relationship and having to not cancel out everything that I've learned in a previous relationship, but having to restructure, rethink, or reevaluate, or reimagine, or reinvent, how I'm going to give love, how I'm going to receive love. Like I said, the previous relationship was toxic. So I thought, okay, so that toxic type of love, that is the good love. Even though I knew it was wrong. Sociology works differently, babies. You might know something is wrong, but it don't mean that you ain't going to be affected by it in some type of way. So yeah, going into this new relationship, figuring out, okay, so I can be the dominant one. He can be the softer or the submissive or the, y'all know what I'm saying? Rethinking love. And let's move over to chapter 3, babies. Rethinking how we perceive people's bodies. Y'all know there has been for many years stereotypes on the way that people are built. Y'all know what I'm saying? You look at a female out there walking down the street. Maybe she has long legs. She's built. Let's say for example, she's built like Tyra Banks, or she's built like a Victoria's Secret model. And you look at her and you think, wow, this woman is statuesque. She's beautiful. And then next to her is working. Somebody's walking next to her. Also a woman, also beautiful, but she is more bootylicious. Y'all know what I'm saying? She's more bootylicious than the statuesque person. So now you have been raised with thinking, okay, so this Victoria's Secret, she's the beautiful one, and the bootylicious woman, no, she's not too beautiful, no. Now, just to break down to y'all what bootylicious is, it's it's a word that Beyonce created. Bootylicious is how do you say, being comfortable in your own skin. You might be skinny, you might be a little bit thick, you might have the curves and swerves in all the right places. You are bootylicious. That's what bootylicious is. And if you don't believe me, like Beyonce says, look it up in the dictionary, babies. it's listed in the dictionary. Anywho, so now society has made us believe that the statuesque, tall, slender woman, that is what you know, body should look like. And we look down at the bigger girl. But babies, have y'all seen in today's life and times, I mean, even, like if I think of myself in drag, people always say to me, Effie, you are statuesque, you're so tall. I've even been compared to Tyra Banks and Naomi Campbell, because I'm tall and statuesque. And then I look at other performers, you know, who's adding the pads so that they can have all, you know, that hourglass body and all that things. And I think to myself, wow, I wish I looked like that, knowing that they have padding on. But now I need to restructure, rethink, and reimagine the way I'm going to think about things. Yes, just like I'm looking at her saying, baby, you look gorgeous. You got that Kim Kardashian. You got that Beyonce body. And I'm walking around here looking like Naomi Campbell, statuesque type body. Just because I want to look like Kim Kardashian doesn't mean that me as Naomi is ugly. And just because you is looking like, say for example, Kim Kardashian type body or Jennifer Hudson before she had lost her weight, doesn't mean that you is ugly and a statuesque person is beautiful. No, honeys. This is 2020, like I said earlier on. We have to restructure, rethink, and reimagine the way that we see each other. And even taking it into social media, like Instagram, Facebook, and all these other apps. We see these men and these women on there, especially, like, let me talk from my point of view. Seeing a man on Instagram, you know, he got them abs, he got pecs, he got biceps. Ooh, his muscles is in all the right places of what Instagram has socialized us to believe. So now, you go out there in these streets, you single, and you're looking for a man who looks Insta-ready, like they say. You're looking for a man who is Insta-ready, but in the meantime, you got somebody who is interested in you. He might not be built like those Instagram models, but he's able to love you, he's able to care for you, and he's able to give you everything that Instagram model might be or might not be able to give you. Give that other person a chance too, babies. Yes, I understand. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand we all got our types. We all got our types of, you know, what we are, attracted to. Is it the personality? Is it the way the person looks? Is it both? Is it A, B, C, D, E, F, G? What is it? But don't, when I say, don't prevent love from coming your way because they don't look or they don't act the way you act like what you are attracted to. Does that make sense, babies? I hope this is making sense to y'all. So yeah, that we've come to the end of today's episode. Oh my God, I have actually enjoyed myself with today's episode. Last week was a little bit more, not lighthearted, because obviously it was ghost stories and hauntings and all these things. But getting back to a topic that is more relatable, you know, when I say rethinking your tea. Thank y'all so much for tuning in to Tea Time with Effie. Whether you're laying on your bed listening to me in your earphones, or you might just be in your car having me on the stereo, or in the grocery store doing your weekly or monthly shopping. Thank you so much for tuning in to Tea Time with Effie. Y'all be blessed.